In a world where information flows freely across digital platforms, censorship seems like a relic of the past. Yet Nick Cohen's searing analysis reveals a disturbing truth. Censorship hasn't disappeared. It has evolved. When Salman Rushdie received a fatwa for writing the Satanic Verses, it signaled a new era where fiction could become a death sentence. Today, as social media amplifies our voices while simultaneously enabling unprecedented surveillance, the threats to free expression have only multiplied. Religious fundamentalists bomb bookstores, wealthy oligarchs weaponize libel laws, and authoritarian governments deploy sophisticated digital tools to silence dissent. Meanwhile, corporations crush whistleblowers, and cultural relativism betrays minority voices seeking reform. The digital revolution promised liberation, but delivered new forms of control. As Rushdie himself noted when accepting the 2023 Peace Prize of the German book trade, free speech is the whole ball game, and it's a game we're in danger of losing. The 1988 Rushdie affair transformed free expression debates. Despite most protesters never reading the Satanic Verses, Khomeini's fatwa unleashed global violence, bombed bookstores, murdered translators, and shot publishers. This censorship brought violence to Western cities, testing intellectuals' commitment to free speech. Some, like Roald Dahl, criticized Rushdie rather than his persecutors, while major media self-censored related content while freely publishing other religious imagery. Manufacturing offense became censors' primary strategy. When Random House canceled The Jewel of Medina, a novel about Muhammad's wife, it wasn't from organic protest, but Professor Spellberg's targeted campaign. After Beaufort Books acquired it, their British publisher faced a firebombing. The Danish cartoon controversy followed this pattern. Local publication became international crisis only after Imam circulated a dossier with unpublished, misrepresented images. Muslim Brotherhood leader Al-Qaradawi's call for an international day of anger led to violence claiming 139 lives. Ayaan Hirsi Ali's journey exposed a paradox in Western liberalism. After escaping an arranged marriage to the Netherlands, she criticized European authorities for enabling abuse of immigrant women through what she termed a squishy liberal version of apartheid. When her film Submission led to collaborator Theo van Gogh's murder by a jihadist who threatened her next, liberal support crumbled. Dutch media attacked her asylum claims, neighbors sought her eviction as a security risk, and her party challenged her citizenship. Liberal intellectuals like Baruma and Gart Nash labeled her an Enlightenment fundamentalist, equating rights advocacy with violent extremism, revealing how quickly principles fade when defending them becomes dangerous. European societies now oscillate between authoritarianism and appeasement, abandoning dissidents like Khadr, Namazi, and Dia. Muslim reformers find themselves deserted by liberals unwilling to defend freedom of conscience against religious pressure, a new discrimination that sacrifices vulnerable minorities for cultural sensitivity. While political dissent is tolerated, corporate employees who question leadership risk career suicide. The 2008 financial crisis revealed how workplace censorship enables institutional failures. British whistleblower laws mandate internal reporting first, effectively asking employees to report to those they're investigating. HR departments weaponize confidentiality clauses to enforce silence. RBS's collapse under Fred the Shred Goodwin illustrates this pattern. His autocratic leadership, including degrading prayer meetings and labeling concerned employees business prevention officers, stifled dissent. When RBS abandoned conservative banking for risky ventures and the catastrophic $48 billion ABN AMRO purchase, everyone remained silent. The system rewards compliance. Whistleblowers face industry blacklisting, while those who stay quiet keep their bonuses despite institutional failures. After the RBS bailout, 200 staff received million-pound bonuses while the public endured recession. Paul Moore's experience at Halifax epitomizes these dynamics. After flagging dangerous lending practices, CEO James Crosby fired him. Moore became unemployable, while Crosby received a knighthood. A subsequent survey showed most risk managers had anticipated the crisis, but were muted by cultures that suppressed risk warnings. London earned its libel capital status through England's feudal libel system, where defendants must prove truth after minimal claims of damage. The 1849 Brunswick Rule, treating each republication as a new offense, poses particular challenges in the digital era. Media mogul Robert Maxwell exemplified this abuse, filing over 21 suits in 1 year against various entities. When Private Eye exposed his pension fund theft, Maxwell won damages, only for the truth about his $727 million pension theft to emerge weeks after his death. Trafigura's case revealed deeper concerns. After toxic waste dumping caused 17 deaths in Ivory Coast, they used super injunctions to suppress their internal report. When an MP mentioned this in Parliament, Trafigura's lawyers threatened journalists, challenging the 1689 Bill of Rights. With preliminary hearings costing $140,000, 140 times European averages, justice remains out of reach for most. Publishers often settle to avoid bankruptcy, scientific journals retract valid studies, and human rights organizations self-censor, undermining democratic discourse. The internet promised democratic media access by enabling anyone with a laptop to publish without corporate backing, addressing criticisms that traditional press freedom mainly served those controlling distribution networks. However, this technological utopianism proved misguided. Like previous media revolutions, the web reinforces existing power structures. Tools enabling protest movements simultaneously enable their suppression through surveillance and censorship. Paul Chambers' case exemplifies this reality. His joking tweet about blowing the airport sky high after Snow closed Robin Hood Airport led to his arrest, job loss, and $1,000 fine, despite security officials acknowledging it wasn't a credible threat. While the web theoretically offers unrestricted access to global audiences, few achieve meaningful reach. Most content remains buried beneath competing voices, as major platforms and established voices dominate through sophisticated algorithms and existing networks. Freedom is an anomaly in human history, requiring constant defense. Throughout time, challenging authority has invited punishment, as the powerful can't afford to lose face. Even ancient Athens, celebrating parrhasia, all speech, executed Socrates for corrupting youth. Simon Singh's battle with the British Chiropractic Association demonstrates how collective action defeats censorship. When Singh faced a libel suit for criticizing unproven treatments, science bloggers rallied behind him. The Streisand effect amplified his message, ultimately leading to British libel law reform. John Stuart Mill argued that social pressure and self-censorship pose greater threats to freedom than government action. He maintained that silencing arguments prevents us from testing our beliefs, as ages are no more infallible than individuals. Freedom demands courage, speaking when silence is safer, and defending others' right to express opposing views. It requires distinguishing between respect for persons and respect for ideas, while recognizing that appeasement encourages extremism. In today's world, censorship ranges from religious outrage to algorithmic suppression. The fight for free expression requires constant vigilance and must be renewed by each generation. Our response when silence seems safer defines our society.